Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, did you hear that, Butte, Montana? Did you hear who Donald J. Trump selected to be his running mate? Ohio Senator J.D. Vance. You know, it was interesting, Jeremy Carl lives in Bozeman. He's a senior fellow with the Claremont Institute. He also worked in the first Trump administration in the Department of Interior. But he has written about and spoke about what a great selection J.D. Vance is, because he speaks for the rest of us. He speaks for the white working class, the forgotten voters out there. And so much of what J.D. Vance speaks to, the people in West Virginia who saw the attack on their coal mining industry, who saw the attacks of methamphetamines and fentanyl, much like we've seen attacks on our coal industry here in Montana from these radical environmentalists and the policies of Joe Biden and John Tester. But we've also seen this invasion of Mexican drug cartel operatives that have flooded our state with meth and with fentanyl. And so much of what J.D. Vance has spoken to and lived with, frankly, his mom surviving addiction, now 10 years sober, it speaks, I know, to so many people who have been fighting addiction and fighting these economic challenges here in Montana as well. But here's what else is great about J.D. Vance. First off, Lawrence Jones made the point that this isn't just about white working class voters either. And Jeremy Carl, made this point as well. Lawrence Jones pointed out how, you know, for somebody like him, you know, who's black, and who grew up in, you know, working class, you know, predominantly black neighborhoods, he says, you know, J.D. Vance is that poor white kid that was on our football team that we played football with. So we identify with him, too. But anyway, here's the other great thing is J.D. Vance is a Marine Corps veteran. He served in Iraq. Congressman Ryan Zinke, who served in Iraq, says this: I'm excited to see a young veteran bring a new perspective to our nation's leadership. J.D. Vance is a Marine, smart and very capable conservative who is still a political outsider. We haven't had a veteran in the White House since George Bush. That's about to change with Trump, Vance, Semper Fi. Tim Sheehy, another Navy SEAL veteran running for the U.S. Senate, said this: J.D. Vance is a political outsider, an America First warrior, and a successful businessman who served our country as a Marine. It's time for a new generation of conservative leaders to help President Donald J. Trump make America great again. Let's get to work. And then, of course, State Auditor Troy Downing, who's a candidate for the Eastern Congressional seat. He is also a combat veteran who served in the Air Force. And so he also says he looks forward to helping J.D. Vance win and working with him after November. Three quarters of our congressional delegation could soon be combat veterans here in Montana. That's great news. Not only that, but our likely soon-to-be vice president, also a combat veteran. That's great news if you ask me. All right. I was able to catch up with Montana Senator Steve Daines about this pick and much more. I'll share a brief portion of that conversation and then open the phone lines for you.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, my first reaction when I saw that Ohio Senator J.D. Vance was selected to be President Trump's running mate for vice president here is, wow, this is great news for conservatives in Butte. Great news for working class folks in Butte and Great Falls and other places like that. Senator Daines, your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you, you read J.D.'s life story, which can be read in the book he wrote, you know, Hillbilly Elegy. This guy had a very tough upbringing. It was the tough family environment, very, very poor. In Middletown, Ohio is where he was born. and going from that point into the United States Marine Corps, and he'll tell you the Marine Corps really helped straighten him up. My dad says the same thing when he joined the Marine Corps there in Billings, Montana. But what he has is he's got a tremendous intellect as well. So great life experiences. He's one of the smartest guys we have in the Senate. I remember first campaigning with J.D. back in 22 when he was running for that Ohio Senate seat. And he won that race decisively in Ohio. But his appeal to the hardworking Montanans, to hardworking folks in the Rust Belt of this country, which where the election will be decided for the president, it'll be decided in Pennsylvania, in Michigan, in Wisconsin. He has an appeal, again, to those lunch bucket Democrats, unlike any Republican I've seen in a long time.
Well, I watched the Teamsters Union president address the RNC last night. First time ever that a Teamsters president has addressed the RNC. Fiery speech. And, man, he was singing the praises of J.D. Vance and President Donald Trump last night. Tonight at the GOP convention, Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy, the Republican U.S. Senate candidate here in Montana, will be addressing the convention, headlining the convention as well. I got a chance to catch up with him yesterday, but, you know, I've been telling folks, look, if you support Donald J. Trump and his policies, the most important vote you can cast for Donald Trump in Montana is for Tim Sheehy. Your thoughts?
Well, completely agree, and I will tell you, I speak to the president frequently about Montana. I speak to J.D. Vance frequently about Montana and the importance of the Senate race. They see it. They know that if they're going to enact their agenda for America, this America First agenda, they must win the state of Montana. It's as clear and clean as that. And John Tester has opposed President Trump on everything of major consequence. He voted to impeach Trump twice. He voted against the Trump tax cuts. Tester voted against every one of Trump's Supreme Court nominations. And now when Biden became president, Tester has voted 95% of the time with everything that Joe Biden's trying to accomplish. And so Tester will be part of that resist movement to stop President Trump. And that's why Tim Sheehy is speaking tonight in front of the national stage at the Republican National Convention, because this is the most important Senate race in the country, and Montanans will have a chance to decide whether or not Trump's agenda is enacted or not. A vote for Tester is to stop Trump. A vote for Sheehy is to advance Trump's America First agenda. It's not that complicated.
That's right. Well, one thing that was clear in night one of the RNC is, I think the Teamsters president pointed this out. He said, I'm here speaking because Donald Trump made it happen. And Donald Trump opened up those gates. And Donald Trump has Tim Sheehy speaking tonight because that's how important this U.S. Senate race is here in Montana to Donald J. Trump. And his agenda, frankly, Senator Steve Daines, just talk about being at the convention. I got to go to both the Democrat and the Republican conventions 20 years ago. And it's just remarkable, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, to witness the process and see all of the faces. It's just kind of fun to walk around and see who you run into. What's it like for you, obviously, being a big player right now as the head of the National Republican Senatorial Committee?
Well, I will have the honor of actually addressing the convention from the stage on Thursday night, that slot when President Trump, of course, will be our big cleanup hitter. And so I'll be there. I'll have a chance to proudly represent Montana on the stage. But it's a moment in history, Aaron, that we know that the future of this country, I do believe, falls on where this election heads. If I think President Trump's going to win right now at this moment. I think we can get the majority Senate control and get the House back. But I'm worried. I know listeners are worried about this. If this goes the wrong way, and I think this is going to be closer than maybe people think, this thing probably tightens up. We have to run against the mainstream media every day, and I think this race may tighten up. But the emotion here, the enthusiastic support, I think Thursday night, President Trump is going to blow this roof off. I mean, it is going to be one of these epic evenings. So I think strap in on Thursday night, watch these speeches, and watch President Trump as he's going to lay out his America First agenda in front of a crowd that I'm not sure could be any more excited in supporting this president.
The president dodged the bullet. I mean, obviously, it still struck his ear, but he dodged the bullet, what, a quarter of an inch or less? Our country dodged a bullet. Less than a minute to go. Some are describing this as providential. Got to say, I agree.
I know it is providential. I guess I've always been embraced in terms of my faith in God. That was a providential moment. And, you know, it was a quarter inch, Aaron, that separated this week from being a memorial service. Imagine that, had that assassin's bullets connected with Trump. This would have been a memorial service this week instead of a national convention. It's a sober moment, literally, in terms of what a quarter inch could have meant the difference in our country. Imagine the chaos. Imagine the unrest. When Martin Luther King was assassinated, I mean, there was riots in the streets. You know this would have been a moment in our country that would have just further divided apart. President Trump has a chance, and he will do this on Thursday night, to bring this country together under his leadership.
He survived. Our country will survive. Fight, fight, fight. Our country will fight back from this economic turmoil and more. Senator Steve Daines, thanks so much for joining us. Great to catch up with you here this morning. All right, phone lines are open right after this.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we've got the phone lines open for you. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks, or maybe you want to react to something that you just heard in that conversation with Senator Steve Daines and I, give us a ring, 406-294-0970. We've got phone lines open for you right now. And you can also message us on our Montana Talks app. So if you're one of those shy folks out there that doesn't want to call in, well, you can just send us a quick message and be heard that way. All across Montana. This I've gotten this question two times now in just the past 10 minutes or so. I dropped by the Cat Country studio down the hall. Mark and Paul, they're down there. They've been on the radio for 36 years now. And, you know, I was chatting with them while I was refilling my cup of coffee. And first off, I told Paul Mushaven, and I said, Paul, great reminder. I had totally forgotten about that Pearl Jam poster. You know, I threw out the question yesterday, if rhetoric is to blame for the political violence in America, well, why is Pearl Jam allowed to have a concert on the University of Montana campus in Missoula this August? Remember when Pearl Jam had that promotional poster promoting John Tester that featured a dead Donald Trump on the poster? Well, if rhetoric is to blame, why is Pearl Jam still being allowed to occupy a college campus in Montana later this summer? And so I was mentioning that to Paul. I said, hey, Paul, I told folks about that. I had totally forgotten about that poster. John King did a write-up about that for KGVO News a few months ago. And then Paul asked me, he said, hey, Aaron, do you know, wasn't there like a clip of John Tester on national TV talking about punching Donald Trump in the face? Oh, yes, Paul, there is. In fact, I've got the audio if you want it. That was the conversation we had just a few minutes ago. Owen in Bozeman just messaged us on the Montana Talks app. Owen says this, if memory serves me correctly, did not Tester say how he wanted to punch President Trump in the face on a national political commentary morning show? Yes, he did. And here's the audio, since some of you are asking.
And I don't think even in states where Donald Trump won big that it does you any good running away from Donald Trump. I think you need to go back and punch him in the face. I mean, the truth is this guy is bad for this country. We're
all right. Yeah. So there's the audio for you. And oh, by the way, Joe Biden was recently, just as recently as I think last Friday, Joe Biden was saying how Trump needed a bullseye on his back. And what was Joe Biden's excuse? Oh, well, I didn't say crosshairs. Oh, for Pete's sake, buddy. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Jim in the Flathead, what's going on this morning? Thanks for calling in.
Hey there. Yeah, if anybody out there is wondering why the convention last night was such a freak show, I think I have the answer. Like, you know, why was there hardly, I don't think there was one single, like, regular conservative white guy up on that stage. We had, like, how many, like, we almost had, like, seven Mexicans that could hardly speak English. And we had, like, two black guys that talked about how their mom was so poor. And then we have some Hindu woman who's like up there praying and singing and gibberish. And there's not one single hardworking, regular American white guy. Now, why is that? It's because Trumpism of 2016 is no longer what we're seeing. We're seeing this establishment diversity and inclusion politics taking over the GOP. The party is cooked. The party is done.
Wait, so you don't like the fact that Americans of all stripes, even people that voted for Joe Biden in 2020, have now seen the light and are fleeing the Democrat Party, and that makes you mad, huh?
No, the notion is that when what brought Trump, what's so great about Trump is he was fighting for the regular American working man. When you're now shilling for more legal immigration, what is that doing? If you're bringing in a bunch of Mexicans, that suppresses wages of regular blue-collar workers. So, no, I don't want to hear about some, you know, Rosalita from Nicaragua who is a legal immigrant and is here to, like, bring her whole family to suppress my wages.
Well, first off, that legal immigrant that you refer to talked about coming here the right way and doing it the legal way, which that is a good thing. Hardworking woman, hardworking mom who lost everything in a fire 2 years ago. And look, if you think legal migration is the threat when we've got illegals completely flooding across our southern border, I think what you highlight is exactly how sensical, how commonsensical Donald Trump's policies actually are. I just think it's interesting that you're mad that the true representation of a whole cross section of America out there, different faiths, different backgrounds, that somehow offends you. This shows the true support that's out there for Donald Trump's America First policies. And that woman that you mentioned from Nicaragua, yeah, she voted for Joe Biden in 2020. And she's not, because she saw the Trump years and how successful those Trump years were. And then she saw the success or the failures of the Joe Biden, John Tester years. And that's why she is saying never again. Now, if you think legal migrants are somehow suppressing your wages, no, frankly, the people that are doing it the legal way are getting hammered by the Biden administration. They're getting punished by the Biden administration. If you think that legal migrant farm workers are harming your job, I don't know what to tell you. It's the mass migration of illegal aliens that are doing that. But also you had the Teamsters president up there on the stage. I mean, absolutely remarkable. This is what the Teamsters president had to say about Trump last night. And he also sang the praises of J.D. Vance, who represents that white working class voter that you feel like is unrepresented right now, apparently.
And I think we all can agree, whether people like him or they don't like him, in light of what happened to him on Saturday, he has proven to be one tough SOB.
All right. Yeah, that was the Teamsters president, first ever addressed by a Teamsters president at the RNC. Did you hear that? Butte, America. Next up on the phone lines, let's go to Gary in Terry. Phone lines are open for you, 294-0970. Gary, what's going on?
Yes, just calling to say what has happened in the last several days is prophetic. It was written about in God's Chaos Code, a book that was released in about 2019, that's well worth the read for anyone that believes himself a Christian and the prophecy of the Bible.
So what about that book predicted the events over the last several days? Because, well, I mean, frankly, there's been assassination attempts on presidents before, and it's not that hard to predict that somebody would have tried to assassinate Trump. So what about that book predicted specifically the events of the last few days?
Well, basically, it's taking the events of the current past, how things have led up to Trump being a candidate. and taking the Bible and reading that through the whole of Christianity, where God has intervened, as in Moses, as in right down the line, and what precipitated that. Therefore, you reach the point where he is prophesying that Trump will become a prophetic leader. And you saw that immediately after he was shot.
Well, and I don't think anybody out there would describe Donald Trump as Moses, right? I mean, maybe from a political analogy standpoint. But we're certainly not electing Donald Trump to be the pastor or the priest or the rabbi of the church or the synagogue. But in terms of political deliverance for America, I mean, boy, again, look at his 4 years compared to the last three.
Well, that's the point. The deliverance of the people. Right?
If we're ready for it, if we are ready for it, right? You know, that's interesting. So Tim Scott spoke last night, and Tim Scott just seems like a great man of faith. Tim Scott spoke at the Republican National Convention last night. I think Dan Scavino highlighted this on the X platform, because you even heard Senator Daines and I talk about this. Was it providential? Was this divine intervention that President Trump miraculously survived that assassination attempt? Here's Tim Scott.
If you didn't believe in miracles before Saturday, you better be believing right now. Thank God Almighty that we live in a country that still believes in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega. And our God still saves. He still delivers and he still sets free. Because on Saturday, the devil came to Pennsylvania holding a rifle, but an American lion got back up on his feet and he roared! Oh yeah! He roared!
And if you missed it yesterday, when that lion rolled into the Republican National Convention, the crowd not only roared, but there were people in tears to see him in person just 48 plus hours after that assassination attempt. Did you guys, I asked Jeff Manasso from Fox News Radio this, did you guys see the look in President Trump's eyes last night? Something definitely has changed in that man. That's what I thought when I saw the look in his eyes last night. I don't know what you saw. 294-097.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
The National Cattlemen's Beef Association and Public Lands Council have filed a lawsuit against the Bureau of Land Management's Conservation Landscape Health Rule. The lawsuit, filed in the District Court of Wyoming, seeks to overturn the rule that threatens generations of family ranching operations in the U.S. by undermining the long balance of multiple-use management, the groups say. NCBA President and Wyoming rancher Mark Isley said the groups are suing the Biden administration to stand up for America's Western ranchers and push back on this harmful rule that only serves as a stepping stone to removing livestock grazing from the nation's public lands. Isley added that under the Federal Land Policy and Management Act, the BLM is supposed to balance the multiple use of public lands, including grazing, energy, mining, timber, and recreation. However, he said the BLM's rule upends the system by creating a brand new use for federal lands without congressional approval and conflict with existing federal law. Also next week, a cattle producers forum will focus on industry collaboration and bring attendees a slate of informative speakers that will help address issues in the cattle industry. Starting on the heels of the Northern Livestock Video Auction, a reception will take place at the Roadside Event Center in Huntley on July 23rd, with the meat to the program taking place at the Doubletree Hotel on the 24th. Visit the Montana Stock Growers online for more info. I'm Lane Nordlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, I got some messages here on the Montana Talks app. Let me share one, and then I'll jump right into the phone lines here, 406-294-0970. Lori in Bozeman says this, I'm getting pretty tired of the ignorance of social media posts saying this was staged, fake, and a setup. Yeah, I saw even some politicos here in Montana were suggesting that in the immediate aftermath of this assassination attempt on President Trump. One of them was former state representative Jessica Carjala. She later deleted that tweet, but then apparently shared some more craziness on Twitter. But, Lori, I partly wonder if the reason why they think this is staged in a setup is because think of all the hate crime hoaxes, the fake hate crime hoax schemes that we have seen time and time again. And they always say, oh, look, there was this hate crime at the Air Force Academy, you know, anti-black racist messages were put on the lockers of black cadets. And then we found out, oh, it was a black cadet who wrote those messages. And then we had Jussie Smollett. I was attacked by Trump supporters with a noose. And then we found out, oh, Jussie Smollett actually staged the whole thing. I wonder if they have been faking hate crimes for so long now that they just assume everybody else does what they do. 294-0970. Let's go to Jamie in Missoula. Jamie, thanks for the call.
Hi, Aaron. It's Jeannie instead of Jamie.
Oh, Jeannie. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
I came and met you when you were in Missoula a few weeks back.
Yeah.
And you remember the incident? I was calling to thank you because I truly believe that that man would have physically attacked me for telling him I was a Trump supporter if you hadn't walked up and intervened.
Oh, yes. Now I was thinking, I was like, what incident? So, yeah, we were doing an event, and we were set up in front of a hardware store, and there was one.
If that table hadn't been between me and him, he would have gotten to me before you got there.
Yeah, so I ran inside to go get some more gift cards because we were giving out gift cards and, you know, but the table had a bad Bidenomics sign on the table. And this is, you know, right next to the mall in Missoula. And so I was inside. You weren't working the table. You were just there coming to see what we were doing and coming to say hi. So you're just a lady standing out front by this table. And this guy comes up and starts chewing you out and starts accosting you because he thought you were there criticizing Joe Biden.
Yeah, and he was going on, and I said, excuse me, you're talking about me. I happen to be a Trump supporter. And, boy, he was coming around that table. He couldn't have been madder. And he was around 6 feet tall. And you came out of the store about then. It was amazing to me the way you just disintegrated his whole argument. You just stuck out your hand, introduced yourself, said, where are you from? And just he just turned into the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet.
Well, it was funny. I mean, not funny, but because I don't know what disarmed the guy, if maybe I took the approach, hey, man, here's what we're doing. Here's why we're doing it. Look, I get it if you don't like Donald Trump, but this isn't about Donald Trump. We might be here criticizing Bidenomics, but we're not telling people who to vote for, who not to vote for. This organization that's sponsoring this didn't even endorse Trump in the primary, and you could agree or disagree with that. I don't know if that's what was disarming or if he was just one of these liberal tough guys that's a really, really tough guy when they think they can go chew out a pro-Trump woman. But then when a man shows up, all of a sudden they back down. I hope it was the approach, but I don't know.
Well, I certainly appreciated it because I was standing there to talk to you, and whoever was running the table wasn't even there. And he said, what's all this about? And I said, I really don't know. There's some pamphlets there that you can look at. And something that he saw there, he just blew up and started cussing and going on about hating Trump, hating MAGA people. And I said, you are talking about me. I happen to be a Trump supporter. And then he was coming around the table towards me, and you came out of the store. So I certainly appreciated the fact that But that's just showing that the people that hate Trump people can hate you without ever even have seen you before.
There's like a blind rage, right?
I don't know, unreal for the way. Living in Missoula, I would not dare put a Trump sticker on my car.
Well, yeah, unless you want it, you know, scratched up, keyed, tires flattened. You know, I was thinking about this when Donald Trump, when this assassination attempt took place. Look at the violence that's been committed against Trump supporters and the Trump supporters that put themselves personally at risk, not just going to that rally where shots were fired, where this heroic volunteer fire chief laid his life down to save his own family members. But I remember back in 2016, there was that, you know, blonde haired woman. I forget where she was at. And they were throwing eggs at her. They were, you know, calling her all sorts of names. They were attacking this woman because she was a supporter of Donald J. Trump. There was something that just brings out the demons in these people. They have such a hatred for Donald Trump.
Yes, that was very plain to me.
Well, Jeannie, thanks for coming and saying hi. Yeah, that's part of fun of getting out and doing these events across the state is, you know, you just get a chance to talk to people. And even when you get somebody who's like, wow, what the heck? It's like, well, hey, let's talk here for a second. Let's talk one-on-one, person to person. And frankly, we need to be doing more of that. In fact, I'm going to be doing more of that today. We're going to be in Hardin. We're going to have another event paid for by Americans for Prosperity Montana. We're going to be in Hardin tonight, not inside the restaurant. We'll be outside the restaurant, so we'll be separate. We don't want to bother anybody, but we are going to have gift cards, and we are going to be set up at the Outlaws Cafe and Casino in Hardin. And so, yeah, come on down and say hi, and yeah, nice conversation. All right, Jeannie, thanks for the call, and it was great seeing you in Missoula here recently. Hope to see you again soon. Let's see, Valerie in Kalispell. Valerie, what's on your mind?
Oh, hi, Aaron. So I wanted to tell you, I observed, when I saw Trump at the RNC yesterday, sitting next to J.D. Vance and Tucker and all those guys, I felt that, I don't know what you felt, but I was like, wow. He practically had like a glow, almost a glow around. I felt like he had like, it was like, he's like peaceful, calm, and, you know, like I'm sure the weight of the death of that firefighter is on him, you know, in his heart. And just, I don't know, I felt like the protection of all the prayers, because as many people hate Donald Trump, there's that many of us or more out there praying for him. And I know he feels that, and I know he knows that. And it just, like, I don't know, I looked at him, I felt the same, like what you said, that something has come over him, like the gratitude for still being alive, the, you know, the weight of the death of the firefighter and all that. But he looked really peaceful, and probably, too, like having, like, J.D. Vance, another generation there that he feels confident with, knowing that if he, something happens to him, that America's in good hands. I don't know. I saw a lot when I saw his face, and he was basically, I thought he was like glowing.
But yeah, there was really something about that look about him.
He looked tired too. He looks tired.
There was something about that look about him, and yeah, I mean, the weight on his, it's a different weight on his shoulders now, of course, but he's always had strength. He's always had a resolve, but there appears to be a new sort of strength, a new sort of resolve. I don't know if it was one of the ladies on Fox and Friends or a lady in the crowd, but I heard it on the news earlier this morning that you know, she said he looked like a new man. And I thought, I was like, wow, there was something about the look in his eye. Terry in Scobie sent me a message. He says, personal experience. I think Donald's near death changed his perspective on life and most everything in it. I think that's the difference in his demeanor. He said, it did me. And I can tell you from when I was in Iraq and got hit by my first IED, without going into the whole story here on the air, it didn't hit me until a few days later. I was on the phone with some friends back in Missoula. And that's when it finally hit me, like, holy cow, there was a secondary bomb waiting to go off. I remember hearing the doo-doo-doo-doo. And it's like, yeah, that was the secondary that didn't go off for some reason. You know what I mean? And so yeah, it totally changes your perspective.
Yeah, he looked very different and tired too. You can tell that he's tired. I hope he gets some rest. But I doubt that he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that writes very often.
That's right. That's right. And then, and meanwhile, you know, Joe Biden changed his tune for about 48 hours, and then he comes back angry and lashing out and using the same old tired rhetoric in that Lester Holt interview.
Yeah, what's really sad to me, Aaron, is that with all of this going on, and, you know, we hope it would bring unity, but there's the hatred that seems to be stronger than anything against him. But just there is that very real possibility that through all of this and everything, that they still will win and steal the election. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, thanks for the call. Quick break. We'll get to Bruce in Butte right after this.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Kestrel and Billings, I think you're right. I think that earlier caller who was complaining about the freak show that he described at the Republican National Convention, I think you're right. I think that is a seminar caller. You know, one of those callers that pretends to be a Republican, pretends to be a conservative, but is actually a Democrat. But they call in just to make you look bad. I'm pretty sure that that's who that earlier caller was. Because especially when I meant to make this point. One of the things he was complaining about, he's like, oh, and that woman who gave that prayer and that gibberish. Any conservative out there who is that focused on a Republican National Convention could tell you exactly who that incredible woman was last night. Harmeet Dillon. In fact, we had Harmeet Dillon on this show in our Montana Talks studios. And she actually was the keynote speaker at the at not this previous one, but a recent Yellowstone County Lincoln Reagan dinner. And so people love Harmeet Dillon. Conservatives love Harmeet Dillon. Many wanted her to be the head of the RNC. But this guy, I think Kestrel, you're right. I think this guy was pretending to be a Republican so he could make conservatives look bad with his complaints about really an incredible first night of the RNC last night. Robin sends us this message regarding the look in President Trump's eye. Definitely a change in demeanor. Brought me to tears to see President Trump so humble, hoping this tragedy doesn't take anything out of him. Robin says this, my husband reminded me that he had just gotten shot 52 hours ago and anyway would be affected, but fight, fight, fight. That's what Robin shares with us. Thanks for that message. Jeff and Victor says, a shooter just gave his life for a staged event. Really? That's what some people want to believe here. And then Butch in Big Fork. I've seen this one get shared on social media as well. Butch says Trump was shot at 6:11 p.m. That's Eastern time, of course. And then Butch says, read Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He says, I just thought that was interesting to share with you. Yeah, I pulled up the NIV version as well. And let me pull it up again here. Oh, yeah. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes is the NIV version there. Ephesians 6:11. Butch, thanks for sharing that. Let's go to Bruce in Butte next up on the phone lines. Bruce, thanks for the call.
Yeah, good morning, man.
Morning.
Just a quick little note. Why don't we take all the emotion and all the politics out of this whole assassination attempt? Look at it tactically. Counter-sniper operations 101. First thing you do is you realize just exactly what your area of responsibility is. And then the next thing you do is you look over that area and you say, where would I set up if I wanted to do it? There is absolutely no reason on God's green earth they did not have eyes on that rooftop. There is no sound, logical reason. There's too many people involved in that situation. that they would leave a dead space like that uncovered.
Well, and it sounds like they're saying...
Let people draw their own conclusions.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're saying, well, law enforcement had the outer perimeter, or local law enforcement had the outer perimeter, we had this, but yeah. And but then they were alerted by local people on the ground in videos that have now been verified, where you can see them pointing out.
Secret Service has top control over everything. Secret Service has top control over everything around their protectee.
Yeah, it's a clear failure.
I wonder just exactly who it was that either dropped the ball or else kicked the ball.
Yeah, and a full counterintelligence investigation should be a part of this, as I'm sure it will be or should be anyway. But I'll tell you what, if any of the crooked officials at the senior echelons of the FBI are a part of it, or other government agencies, there's great folks that work for the FBI, you know, all across America. But look, we've seen what some of those crooks, you know, like James Comey have done over the last few years. And do you think people will trust anything, you know, those political hacks in Washington, D.C. have to say? Yeah, probably not. Bruce, thanks for the call. Thanks for listening to KXTL in Butte. Let's go to Willie in the Paradise Valley. Willie, thanks for the call.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw something out there with if that was divine intervention or not. But if you think about back in history when George Washington was in that Indian War and they went to sign the treaty and all the big chiefs wanted to see the Great White Father, because the one chief stood there and shot right at him, and I think he had bullet holes in his coat, but God saved him right there. So that's, I thought that was quite interesting too.
Yeah, interesting. And of course, probably certainly some stories from the other side on the Plains wars over the years as well. Yeah, Willie, what do you think? Will our country unite? Does our country even know what to unite around anymore?
Not with the hate out there. I don't see a clue with half that happening, because I feel people on our side, and they're both on both sides, but I don't hate anybody. I'm disgusted and stuff, but I would not even want to see Joe Biden shot or any of them. So These memes and stuff that are coming out on the Facebook are disgusting. I'm not even looking at them, which I don't much anyway, but... There's hate out there. People called in and said that. There's pure hate out there, and I don't think they're going to give it up.
I think the best way to combat the hate and the division is for such a massive landslide victory, not just by Donald Trump, but a big victory by Tim Sheehy here in Montana. That is the way we push back on all this division, all this hate, is by a massive show of unity in support for sanity this November.